The text for today is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, reading in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in the truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. And with those words, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that, first of all, we can come to you in prayer. And Lord, now we just ask that you would continue to bless the gift of your word to us, that it might speak life into us once again and give us once again the assurance of salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. Please open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, in November of 2009, I received some life-changing news. I was in my first year of seminary in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and I was pretty stressed out at that point. I was adjusting to the rigors of seminary studies, nights up late reading and writing, just adapting to a different environment when I got a phone call. Now, I don't remember who it was exactly. I know it was either my dad or my mom herself. But I learned the shocking news that my mom had been diagnosed with endometrial cancer, which is cancer of the uterus. It was a shock, to say the least. My mom is one of the healthiest people I know. She eats healthily. She runs religiously. She's run, prior to even cancer, she ran a marathon, several half marathons. And she just leads an overall healthy lifestyle. But despite all of that, she still had cancer. And it was a shock to hear the terrible news. And at the time of the phone call, things had moved very quickly. She was already scheduled for a hysterectomy and then 6 months of chemotherapy and radiation. And from what I understand, they did it Oreo cookie style. They would do chemotherapy for several weeks, then radiation, and then finish off with another round of chemotherapy like an Oreo cookie. And so that was, as I was talking to my parents over the phone, it was a lot of information to process in just a short amount of time. So what did I do after I learned of that news? I prayed. Prayed for my mom. But looking back, in the shock of the situation, I realized something, that my prayer was pretty selfish. I did pray for my mom. But internally, I was more focused on myself than my mom and her situation. I prayed for her, but I wasn't thinking about her pain or emotions. I was thinking about how I felt, how I didn't want to lose her. Now, those are honest emotions, and we all feel them. But they were self-centered. In the back of my mind, I was probably saying, Lord, heal my mom so that I don't have to go through the pain of possibly losing her. Now, isn't that a terrible thing to think about? Yet often, when we're praying for others, we're really thinking about how we're affected in the situation. Now, I love my mom very much, but I don't think at that point in my life I fully understood the meaning of prayer. Now, my mom made it through her bout with cancer. And she was declared cancer-free less than a year later. But I believe it's because many people were praying for her. And not only for her, but for all involved, including her doctors, nurses. They needed it just as much as she did. And I'm fully convinced that the Lord heard each and every one of those prayers, even my more self-centered prayers. He heard them too. He heard them and healed my mom. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul teaches the young pastor Timothy about prayer. The entire books of 1 and 2 Timothy are Paul's instructions to Timothy on how to be a pastor of a church, how to lead God's flock. Here in chapter 2, Paul urges Timothy to pray, and he urges Timothy to teach his congregation to pray in every way for all people. But the trouble is, what Paul is urging is the impossible. Again, he says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions." This is impossible. We can't just pray for others. The whole concept of prayer goes against our nature. And how much more prayer for other people, not to mention all people. Prayer for others means that we care for them. The intrinsic meaning of prayer for others means that we give a care about them. But in our sinful nature, we don't truly care for anyone but ourselves. That's how the sinful nature works. We're self-centered. We want our needs met. If we do pray, and even people of other religions and atheists, they can pray, but they're praying for themselves, mostly, not others. I want what's best for me. That's always on the surface in our sinful nature. Paul says to pray for all people, but when you dig deep down, we really don't want to. In fact, we can't. Most of the people in the world I've never met. What benefit is it to me to pray for them? Oh, the selfishness. Paul goes on to say that we're to pray for kings and all who are in high positions. This means that we are to pray for our government leaders, our president and lawmakers, everyone in positions of leadership at every level. Here in the United States, local, state, national, even international. We're to pray for our leadership. But many of us will say, oh, our government is corrupt. Why should I pray for the president or our congressman or our governor when I don't even agree with them? It goes against our sinful nature to pray for anyone, but especially those we disagree with. Because we can make a good argument then. I don't agree with them. I don't need to pray. But this is our self-centered, sinful nature. But because of what Jesus has done for us, he enables us to pray for all people. You see, in verse 4, Paul clearly states that salvation is available for all people. He says that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God intends salvation for all. Paul goes on to explain how this salvation was accomplished in verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Jesus Christ gave himself as a ransom. He died on the cross to save all people, us included, from our sins. Jesus bought our salvation so that we might have eternal life. Now, this salvation is indeed intended for all people on earth. But it is only received by those who believe in Jesus Christ, believe in who he is and what he's done. When we receive God's grace by faith, not only do we receive salvation and the promise of eternal life, but we also receive the healing and the ability to truly love other people, just as Christ loves us. God transforms our heart of stone and turns it into a heart of flesh. He heals us. He breaks through our calloused hearts so that we might truly and genuinely love other people as fellow human beings. And it's not that we love them out of guilt or out of obligation or because God forces us to, but because we want to through the healing we've received from Jesus Christ. And when we do love all people, we want to care for them. We want to pray for them. Whether it be for ourselves or for others, we can only pray truly through faith in Jesus Christ. He enables us to pray for all people. But again, this begs the question, why would I want to pray for all people? Paul is clear that we should pray for all people, but he specifically mentions government leaders in this passage. But why? Well, Paul gives three reasons which are mentioned in this passage. First, when God enables us to pray for all people, this allows us to live in peace and godliness. This is specifically related to prayer for our government leaders. Again, I'll read verses 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. So that's the command to pray for leaders. But then he gives the reason why. That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. When we pray for our government leaders, for our president, for our congressmen, just for instance, we are first of all acknowledging that God is in control, whether or not we agree with those leaders. President Trump and the members of Congress and everyone else in positions of leadership are in their offices because God has put them there. Whether we think they're doing a good job or not, God has put those leaders there in those positions. A good example of this is King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was a ruthless tyrant who destroyed Jerusalem and sent the people of Judah into exile. Yet he was king because God made him king for reasons we can't fully understand. Daniel 4:17 says of Nebuchadnezzar that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it even the lowliest of men. Moreover, Paul himself says in Romans 13:1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So it is clear that all rulers, all leaders are in their positions because God has put them there. He has ordained it. Again, often for reasons we can't fully understand. But thus we are urged to pray for them. And when we pray for them, not only are we acknowledging that God is in control, but we are also praying that God would use our leaders to make godly decisions. This is of benefit to us, because it ensures that we may live in peace and godliness. When we pray for our leaders, God hears our prayers and stirs in the hearts of our leaders to make decisions that will be beneficial to Christians and God's kingdom on this earth. It doesn't matter if those leaders are Christians themselves. We as Christians are urged to pray for them either way, as well as for all other people. Second, when we pray as Christians, this pleases God. So that's point number two. It's as simple as that. It pleases God. Verse 3 says, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Prayer for others pleases God. As Christians, we are called to do what is pleasing to God. Now, prayer has many forms. As Paul lists there in verse 1 again, we have supplications, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings. Supplications refer to requests to God to provide for our daily needs. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, that is a supplication. That's an example of a supplication. Intercessions refer to prayers on behalf of someone else, such as prayer for my mom when she had cancer, prayer for anyone else who might be hurting or need something from God. That's an intercession when we pray for other people. We're interceding for them. Thanksgiving is pretty clear, pretty easy to figure out. Prayers to God, thanking him for all he's done. But whatever the form or type of prayer used, all prayer is talking to God and acknowledging that he is greater than ourselves and anyone else. Prayer is humbling ourselves before the great God. This is why God is pleased when his people pray. Prayer is none other than worship. And third, last one, when we pray for all people, it spreads God's mission on earth. In verse 7, Paul says he was appointed a preacher and an apostle of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Paul was appointed to spread God's mission on earth. Now, it doesn't directly say it in the passage, but it is implied that prayer spreads God's mission on earth, and we can testify to that. When we pray for all people, including our leaders, we should not only pray that they make godly decisions, we should do that, but ultimately we should pray for their salvation and the salvation of all people. Remember, Paul himself says that that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This all begins with prayer. As Christians, it is our calling to bring the message of salvation through Jesus Christ to everyone on earth. But not every person is called to be a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary or other public ministries like that. But this is where prayer is so amazing. You don't have to be an apostle like Paul, or a preacher like Pastor Mike or myself, or a missionary like the many missionaries we support as a church throughout the world. You don't have to be any of those in order to spread God's mission on earth. You can be one who prays, a prayer warrior, praying that the gospel of Jesus Christ might reach every person in the world. In this way, prayer ultimately spreads God's mission in the world. So there we have it. Prayer benefits us, first of all. It benefits God because it's worship for him, and it benefits the rest of the world. When we were yet sinners, when we were still sinners, we couldn't truly care for anyone. But because of what Christ has done for us, by giving himself as a ransom, he enables us to truly care and pray for all people, even sinners and wicked people, because that's who we were too. And so when we do pray for our government leaders, that they would make godly decisions and not hinder the mission of the church on earth, we also pray that they too might receive the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. So here's my challenge to you guys today. Pray. Pray. Pray for your families. Pray for your friends and neighbors. Pray for our community. Pray for our church. For those hurting. For those who couldn't be with us today. Pray for Pastor Mike. Pray for the elders. Pray for the trustees that we might make godly decisions and be faithful stewards to all that God has given us here at Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church. Pray for the other churches in town that they may remain in Jesus and his word. Pray for our greater church body. We're part of the Church of the Lutheran Brethren. Each month, most of you guys receive these prayer notes for missionaries and other local ministries. Pray through those as well. And pray for God's church throughout the world. that in spite of great persecution, which we see more and more of every day, even in our own country, pray still, despite persecution, that the message of Christ might be spread throughout the world and that many more people might be saved. But here's an additional challenge for us, and I'm included. I'm not telling you to do something that I wouldn't do, and really I'm not telling you to do anything. God is giving us to do these things because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But let's take Paul's charge seriously and pray for our government leaders. Pray for President Trump. Pray for his cabinet. Pray for the members of Congress, especially those representing us in Montana. Pray for our governor, our legislators, and for every other leader you can think of. Believe me, they need our prayers, whether or not we agree with them. And pray for this special congressional election for Montana this Thursday. Pray that God would intervene, that Montana might receive just representation in Congress. Praying is difficult. It feels like a command. It feels like, oh, God, I have to pray? Yes, it's difficult and unnatural for sinners to pray. But because of what Christ has done for us, because of the salvation we have received, we've received that healing, and it is now an honor and privilege to pray. And as with any spiritual discipline, prayer is one of them. It's okay to practice praying. God will hear those prayers as well. So pick a day of the week and pray for someone. Pray for the president, a senator, congressman, whatever you want. Go through the calendar and pray for people. Pray for those in high positions that they may make godly decisions. But ultimately, pray for their salvation. Pray for the salvation of people throughout the world. Pray for the salvation of people you know aren't saved. Pray for them. In Christ's strength and his love, we, like Paul, urge you to boldly and passionately pray for all people. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this charge and this blessing, this gift, that in response to all you've done for us through Jesus Christ, that we get to care and pray for people. And Lord, we pray for our government leaders. We pray for our president, members of Congress, those representing us here in Montana and all the way down to the local level. Pray for everyone that we are under in various leadership positions. We pray for the election coming up this Thursday, that you would place the man in Congress to represent our state, that he might be faithful to you, and that all our leaders might come to know you as well. So Lord, we can do nothing else but remember that you are in control. And Lord, we acknowledge once again that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, be with us this week. Be with those who couldn't be here today. Bring healing to our church and our community and our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.